Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery. El Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
You are listening to a Hillbilly Horror Stories classic episode.
It's about to be a fun ride. Follow along, watch as we slide. Paranormal just hit the lights. Goosebumps all through the night. Mix in just a little bit of twain. That girl sure can't do a thing. Together, hillbillies go insane. Laugh so hard it'll hurt your brain. Podcast you won't ever change. These two here, they got the recipe. Sat on back and listen in to some of our darkest mysteries, Zane.
Welcome to Hillbilly Horror Stories. And now here's your host, Jerry and Tracy Pauly, and their dog Ninja.
All right, welcome everybody to episode 70 of Hillbilly Horror Story. If it sounds a little bit different, it's because we're recording from a different location this week. We moved out of the bedroom and into the dining room.
Moving on up. Oh, I guess we're moving on down.
Yeah, technically. We have a special guest with us. Of course, I'm Jerry, and I've got Tracy here. Nothing Hello. Special about her. She's here every week. But we've got a friend of mine, Ashley, who wants to start a podcast in the future, and she's sitting in with us today to just kind of learn what a podcaster does. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jerry.
Now, Ashley is a little shy, so we won't put her on the spot tonight. She didn't come here to be interviewed, or she wants to just kind of sit in behind the scenes, see what happens that most of you guys don't get to see. So it should be a fun experience. Okay. Obviously, we want to thank all of our military and civil servants all around the world.
God bless you all.
Absolutely. And we had a boatload of new reviews this past week. So thank you guys so much for that. So we'll just run into it real quick. The Painter Rick, Evil Dupin, Gruff Teddy Bear, Todd L1521, River Rat 559, who's actually a truck driver up in Crestwood. So thanks for all you do. You guys are underappreciated. Ashley from Nebraska. And Ashley, you'll get to hear a story tonight from a young lady that's actually lives in Nebraska.
So yeah.
I think you may be the only two people who live in Nebraska, but we'll go ahead and
you may be neighbors and don't even know it.
Yeah, you are probably neighbors. Might be 2,000 miles between you, but Gunner number one, Coffee Bean 99, Java Woman. I wonder if they know each other.
I don't know.
Julie Ankney. I'm pretty sure I butchered that. And we got Madison McSee.
Nice. Thank you guys so much.
Absolutely. Patreon supporters. We had six of you guys this week.
Wow.
Awesome.
Woohoo.
Allison Richards, Kayla Michelle, Stacy Schmidt, Jordan Ballou, Virgil Deaton, and Donna Wolf. Thank you guys so much for your support.
Thank you guys. So appreciated.
We are on new equipment this week. We bought ourselves a fancy new computer. It's still used, but it's an upgrade from what we had. And that's thanks to you Patreon supporters. You guys give us your hard-earned money every month, and we use it to try to upgrade the show and give you a bunch of bonus content. So thank you so much for what you did.
Thank you. Guys, rock.
Real quick, we got the store. If you go to hillbillyhorrorstories.com, we have our store. It's a great time to get some Christmas gifts for some people. And we added our purple logo. If you're on our Facebook page, we put a purple logo up a while back, and people really liked it. So we've added that now. So if you like that, you can now get that on a shirt or a mug or a shower curtain.
Oh, here we go with the shower curtain.
Well, I mean, I can't help but to think that Psycho would have been a much better movie.
Oh, if we had our logo on
it? If we had that shower curtain, would have had a Hillbilly Horror Story.
I feel you.
That's just me. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
You probably are wrong.
Okay, great. Like most of the conversations around here, I'm wrong.
Well, you might as well go with the flow, right?
But that's up there, and we changed the format a little bit. So if you go to it, it's a little cleaner setup. There was a bunch of logos and stuff that I was able to get rid of yesterday for some reason. It just didn't look as good as it should have. So now it's a little easier to navigate. But get on there and give the gift that keeps on giving. Hillbilly Horror.
Horror.
Yeah, horror.
Horror.
She did say horror. The other that could give keep on giving too, but that's usually what Dr.
That ended up costing you more money.
Yeah. So we have got some cool stories. Hopefully we can get Ashley to chime in at some port, but who knows?
At some port?
At some port. We're doing this on the dock. But we're going to do the Stoll Cemetery, which is in Stoll, Kansas, and that's a really cool story. We're going to hear from Mia from Nebraska a little later. She has an awesome story to tell you. And we're going to do some rock and roll in the occult. I know a lot of you keep wanting us to do some rock stuff, and I'll be honest with you, I'm starting to run out of stuff, so it's taking some deeper digging to come up with some of this stuff. But I think we got three really cool stories, and you heard the Allman Brothers Midnight Rider leading in, and that is one of the coolest stories that I think you'll hear. A lot of coincidences in that. So we'll get to that a little bit later, including some Michael Jackson stuff.
So beat it. Just beat it.
Okay. And then we've got, what was the other one we're doing? We got, was Jimi Hendrix actually murdered?
Yeah. Well, was he?
Okay. Let's jump right into this. Ashley, should we just jump right into this?
Just jump right on in.
Okay, jump right on in. Stoll Cemetery is located in Stoll, Kansas. It's about 10 miles away from Lawrence. And if you know Kansas at all, and we do.
Carry on our way.
They just farted or something.
I was trying to say Kansas. Is that the Kansas song?
Yeah, that's a Kansas song.
Maybe Ninja didn't fart.
Well, what is that smell?
Well, Jerry, I don't know. Was she right in the middle of a story?
Yeah, but that stopped me dead in my tracks.
Oh, my gosh.
I think there's something dead in here, and it's not a ghost. It's Ninja's ass.
Oh.
Well, anyways, okay, so...
Now look, now you got to start all over.
Okay, well, no. No, I don't. So, Stoll, Kansas is 10 miles from the University of Kansas, which is... What city is the University of Kansas?
No, that makes sense. I'm just saying that makes a lot of sense.
Okay. So, the University of Kansas is 10 miles away, and that's going to come into play because the town of Stoll actually has some legends and stories that surrounded that area for over 100 years. What kind of stories, you ask? Well, we're a paranormal show, so it's paranormal stories. I answered before you answered.
Because I didn't get a chance. I
didn't know which direction you would have went.
Oh.
So you see, this is where one of the so-called seven gates of hell is located. It's said that the devil himself actually appears here twice a year. But the devil shows up the two nights are on Halloween and the spring equinox. And we'll get into those dates a little bit later. Well, you know the date of Halloween, same every year. These legends obviously made it into the University of Kansas student newspaper in 1974, which is where all this really started coming to light. The article said that lots of strange occurrences happened in the Stoll area, so to speak, but mainly in the churchyard cemetery. The cemetery sits on top of Stoll's Emmanuel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is only 10 miles from Lawrence, Kansas, which the university is, so it would make sense that that's where the article came out of. Now, for years, stories of witchcraft, ghosts, and supernatural happening around the area, especially in the cemetery and the crumbling church that was in the area. These stories had been told and retold by parents and grandparents, and the article written claimed that many of the students at the university had their own firsthand accounts. One student claimed that his arm was grabbed by an unseen force, which seems to happen a lot, you know, in the area. Several others said that they experienced unexplained memory loss when they visited there. So they would just show up, do stuff, and then they didn't remember big blocks of the time that they were there.
I mean, did they remember they were even there?
Well, I'm sure they did. They just don't remember, I guess, what happened there. Now, like many of these places, the article had accusations of witchcraft and devil worshiping going on there. Now, the residents of Stoll claimed that none of this is true. They claimed that they had never heard of any of these stories, and they were pretty pissed off that they were saying these things about their town. The pastor of the new church, which is actually right across from the old Kremlin church that was in there, and we'll talk more about the church later, said that he thought basically the students just made all this stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the case, people really took to these stories, and on March 20th, 1978, which was the spring equinox, 150 people waited at the cemetery to see the devil show up. The word also spread that people who died a violent death were also going to rise that day and return with the devil.
Oh, dang. I wouldn't want to be standing around waiting for that.
So all through the 1980s up to the day, the stories about Stoll Cemetery have continued to grow. One story is that two men were visiting the cemetery one night. A strong wind started blowing out of nowhere, and it scared both of them real bad. So they ran back to their car as fast as they could, only to find their car was parked on the opposite side of the road from where they parked it and in the opposite direction. So their car had completely switched them across the road and pointed in a different direction while they were in the cemetery. Another man, he said that he had the same thing happen with the wind, but he was inside the church, not the actual graveyard. He said that the wind knocked him down and it wouldn't let him basically move. He was paralyzed for a couple of minutes. It's not the only stories about the church, though. Several people claim that they can see it rain all around the church, but nothing ever gets on the floor of the church, which is amazing because the church has no roof.
I was going to say, how would it do that anyway?
Yeah. So there's no roof on the church. It's been gone for a long time because, like I said, this thing is in crumbles. It's in shambles.
Oh, gotcha.
And so that's kind of odd that it would rain but not get the floor wet. But that's what a lot of people say.
Okay, so the night that everybody was there, then nobody saw the devil or anything?
It didn't say. But we'll get into some more conspiracy kind of theory stuff on this a little bit later. The main thing at this church are the steps. These steps are kind of, at this point, we're all kind of grown up with weeds and stuff like that. But these are the steps where supposedly the devil does appear. People said that these steps just keep going down. Even though you can see where they end, it said that you can get on the steps and start walking down and walking out, and you'll never get to the end.
What?
Yep. Like you just keep going down further and further to hell or whatever the case is. So they said, like, if you just start walking and keep walking and keep walking, if you count your steps and then you turn around and walk up, it's always way less steps than what you walk to get down to get back up to the top.
Oh, that's crazy.
So let's go back to the devil and his appearances now. Legend says that he's been appearing here since the 1850s. The original name of the town was supposed to be Skull, S-K-U-L-L, and it was later changed to Stull to kind of cover up the fact that what the area was. Especially the thoughts for this area was steeped in black magic, and they didn't want people to think that. Now, it said that witchcraft practicing early settlers were so guilty about what they had done that they changed the name to Stull. The reality of it is this place was actually named Deer Creek Community until 1899, and then it changed the name to Stull, so it was never named Skull. Stull was the last name of the first town's postmaster. Mm-hmm. His name was Sylvester Stull, and then eventually changed it to Stallone. But no, it was actually Sylvester Stull was his name. So they named a town after him. And unfortunately, the post office closed down like 4 years later in 1903, but the name stayed.
Well, that's dumb. Why didn't they just leave it Deer Crossing? That sounds a lot better, or whatever it was.
Well, it was Deer Creek Community. But whatever. Way, but anyway, so I don't know why you would name a town after the postmaster.
I know. I mean, who's he?
Apparently nobody, because he closed down 4 years later.
Apparently so.
Post office was in bad a shape then as it is now. So in 1980, an article appeared in the Kansas City Times that said that the devil picked two places every year to appear twice. One of them was obviously Stull, and the other was somewhere on a desolate plain in India. Both of these appearances happened simultaneously. So the night that he appears in Stull, he also appears at India at the exact same time. In case you didn't know what simultaneously means.
Well, I do. How is that possible?
He's
is he
devil.
Like Santa Claus?
Yeah, you still believe in Santa Claus, but you can't believe this guy can... Santa Claus can go around the whole damn world in a night.
He can.
In a stupid sleigh.
Don't you say nothing
reindeer.
Bad about him again.
Anyway, so he appears simultaneously at midnight on both of these nights. The devil will actually gather everybody who died a violent death over the past year to prance around the earth at witching hour. So that's what the legend of it is. So the question is, why Stull? I mean, it's a little hole-in-the-wall town. Nothing against the people at Stull, because they obviously have an axe to grind with people. But the article says it's because an event that took place in the 1850s. A stable hand supposedly stabbed the mayor to death in a cemetery at the old stone barn. Years later, that barn was converted into the church, which was then gutted by a fire. They said that you could actually go in a decaying wood cross, crucifix, that was hanging on the wall. If you walked in there at midnight, that it would turn upside down.
No.
Another story says that the devil comes to visit a witch that is actually buried there. And there's a headstone close to the church that actually says witch on it, but it's W-I-T-T-I-C-H. So it's Wittich.
So nobody knows how to spell back in the day.
Well, maybe that was somebody's name, Wittich, and it's just close enough to witch where they stop.
What is it? W-H-I-T-T?
No, there's no H in it at all, but he's close, though. He's just
Several letters. W-I-T-T.
W-I-T-T-I-C-H. Wittich.
Wittich.
Now, there's also a tree that was cut down about 15 years or so ago that was supposedly used as gallows to hang condemned witches. So you got that going where they would just hang people that were supposed witches back then. Now, could the bones of Satan's child be buried here? That's another conclusion that people came up with. One story is that Satan and a witch had a child. The child was so deformed that it only lived for a few days, and the body was buried there in stall. Some say that that child's body, the ghost of the child, walks around still here today. And there's even a picture that seems to show a werewolf-type-looking boy peeking out from behind a tree.
Aw, poor kid. He never had a chance.
One of the funniest stories about Stoll is in 1993. It's said, and this has actually been debunked already, but it's said that Pope John Paul II had his pilot of his private plane fly around eastern Kansas on his way to a speaking engagement he had in Colorado because he didn't want to fly over the gate of hell.
I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, but that's not true, though. That's just that was just a story that was made up that everybody kind of circulated. But I thought it was still a funny story. So as the legend grew over the years, the crowd of people...
What was funny about it?
Because the Pope doesn't make very good jokes. I'm sorry. But that's funny.
Our Pope is cool.
But this was the Pope in 93.
Okay. Not the same Pope.
But as the legend grew... the crowd of people started getting bigger and bigger in 1989 because the crowd was so overwhelming on Halloween night. The Douglas County deputies had to put officers outside to start sending people away. They actually handed out tickets for criminal trespassing to anybody who wouldn't leave. They said it was over 500 people showed up the previous year, and the vandalism and stuff was so bad, that's why they were out there ready for them.
Oh, wow.
So... yeah, that's kind of a lot of people to be showing up and trying to get it. Now, as time passed, obviously the residents of Stoll became more and more aggravated that these vandals and trespassers were destroying the property that, you know, I guess and their loved ones and visitors were actually buried at. So it was an issue for them. They put up a fence around the place and then made sure they patrolled it regularly. And I'm talking about the people of Stoll, not officers. There's always... somebody from the town going around making sure that if somebody shows up, even to this day, they make sure that they leave. They don't want anybody on that property.
Yeah, that's a shame they have to do that.
Or do they have something to hide?
Oh, I don't know. Do tell.
Yeah, because locals have actually made it clear that visitors are not welcome. So I think it's possible they've got something to hide. Now, the church was empty. Think about this. This church was empty for 80 years. Horrible shape, no roof. Why didn't they tear it down? I mean, if there's no paranormal activity to see, why not use the place Halloween to make money for the city, first of all? If you got people showing up, charge for it.
Right.
But they don't want to do that, but people were still showing up. So if you don't want them showing up, why wouldn't you just tear down the church? If it was not usable anyway, and it didn't have a roof and all this stuff, you know, you could get rid of it. So here's the other thing. Halloween of 1999, reporters, TV, so it was a report from the TV and the newspaper reporters, the sheriff were all there, crowds of people coming in, no big deal. But at 11:30, a representative from the cemetery came out and told them everybody had to leave. Well, if you want to squash these rumors...
yeah, why would you?
Why would you make them leave? They're already there. You didn't have a problem with them being there,
right?
You
they're always already looking suspicious.
Now it's 11:30. It's a half hour before social happening. You're just gonna come and tell everybody to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did something happen at midnight? Probably not. But you could. You got film crews and stuff there. If nothing happens, and their whole thing was, well, we don't want the publicity. It just makes it worse. Let them stay an extra half hour when nothing happens.
And then they would go away.
They would report saying nothing happened, and that should kill a lot of it.
So you think some of those people in the town had some kind of ritual going on or something?
I don't know. It almost sounds like they got something to hide.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
You know, awful aggravated. So, you know, this guy comes out, obviously, and tells everybody to go away. So they went away. March 29, 2002, the church was torn down. Well, guess what? Major Weiss, who's the owner, he said he didn't authorize it. Nobody in the town knew anything about it. People who lived right there said they weren't told there was going to be any demolition. So somebody came in, construction company, they tore down the church, and supposedly nobody authorized it, nobody knows why.
Well, see, I'm surprised they hadn't, not maybe the uppity people, but maybe the people in the town, why they didn't destroy it years and years ago.
Well, I don't know. That's where the conspiracy theory stuff comes from.
I'm sure if they did it, nobody would say, oh, well, who they did it. You know what I'm saying? If that was.
Right. So, I mean, you've got all these different stories and they don't like anybody coming, but yet.
Yeah, sums
they didn't,
up.
They didn't do anything to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it did get tore down, it's like a big secret that nobody knows why it happened.
Nobody knows at all. So then what happened?
That's it.
Oh. That was it?
Yeah, I mean. There's nothing else really to tell. I mean, the same stuff goes on. People still go up there all the time.
All the time.
And it's still listed as that. But it's just like anything else. If I've saw some YouTube videos of people who drove up there and pulled in, and they no sooner got into the video, didn't even get out of their car, and somebody was up there telling them they needed to leave.
Yeah, that's fishy.
It's heavily guarded for some reason. That's just not a regular cemetery if you got people camped out. So there's... I don't know what's going on up there, but something's going on.
Yeah.
It's definitely not as it seems.
That's interesting.
Ashley, did you like that story?
Oh, that's fantastic.
All right. That's what I like to hear. That's why you're sitting here. All right. What we want to do real quick is I told you we had Mia from Nebraska, and this story I thought was phenomenal. And it you guys know, if we put a listener story on the main feed, now we do a lot, and it's not taken away from any of these other ones, but we do 4, 5, 6 of them every month for our Patreon supporters, and they're all great stories. But every once in a while, some of them just really stand out above and beyond, and we like to put it on the main show for everybody to hear. And this was one of those stories. So what I want to do is just go ahead and give you a chance to listen to this, and we'll talk about it when we get back.
El Family Chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal, y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
All right, we are joined on the phone by a listener who sent us some ideas for some stories, and she also said she had some stories that she wanted to share with us, and... it's some personal stuff, so it took her a little while to work up the nerve, but I'm excited to have Mia from Nebraska on. Mia, thank you for coming on the show.
Hi, good to be on the show.
So we had a chance to talk with you for a little bit. You seem like an absolute sweetheart. I know Tracy really enjoyed talking with you. I've enjoyed talking with you. And I know you're a little nervous about telling your story, but
there's
no need to be nervous. Everybody listening are believers in what you're talking about. And that's why they listen to the show, is because they like to hear these things that they've either had happen to them, or they know somebody that's had something happen, or they wish it would happen to them. And you've actually been lucky enough to see some things. And I'm going to let you tell the listeners what you've experienced.
All right. Well, it started when I was about 7 or 6 years old. I've been seeing things there was a person that just walks by, and you think it's a real person, but it really isn't. And so you're like, well, did you just see that person just walk by? And they're like, no, I didn't see anybody. Oh, yeah, I'm just going crazy. But and then, it would scare me and, just freak me out and think I need help or something. But in reality, it's pretty cool, actually. I kind of enjoy it now since I got older. But the first scary one that I saw was I was living in Grand Island and just sitting there, just watching the stars and just being alone because I needed some alone time away from everybody. So I would just sit there, and then there's this random person that was sitting there staring straight forward. And I would look at him and, who would be over here at middle of the night. And so I would try to ignore him because I knew it was a ghost. And so, excuse my language, but this is what he said. He's like, I know you could see me. I know you can. You stupid B word, but I don't want to say it. But you would just, like, yell at me because he knew I could see him. And then I would stare straight forward and freaked out. And by the time, like, he could even say anything else, I got up and ran back to the house. And then I'll see a girl that's like, in, like, a white dress, but, like, dark brown hair, just walking around my yard. And then there was this one time I was sitting there with my cousin, and he, you know, would go inside, and I'd be sitting there, and then, because my cousin, he could see, like, ghosts too, which he kind of helped me through everything and through, like, what I've been seeing and seeing if, like, if that's a real person or a ghost, because they look like regular people. And so there's this little boy that would show himself and say, hey, come here. I want to show you something. And I didn't follow him because I didn't want to. Because that some like, legends, they say if you follow a ghost, it'll lead to your death. But I didn't want to follow him. And so my cousin, he's the bravest person you'll ever meet. So he would follow that little boy, and he just told me, oh, yeah, it's a dead bird. A dead bird? Why would he want me to show a dead bird to me? Like, I didn't understand. He's like, well, sometimes they replay their life, and they want to show you how they died. I'm like, I don't want to follow him. No way. That's crazy. So the next time, like, I was living in Kimball at the time, and my aunt would tell me, or ask me if there's people that would follow me or her. I go, yeah, a guy named Matt. And she goes, Matt's here? I go, yeah. And she goes, there's a song that he used to sing to me. And then right then and there, I was singing the song. I never knew it. I never heard of it. There was lyrics I had never, like, read or anywhere. So I would just sing the song. And she would cry. And she goes, yeah, that's the song. That's the song that he dedicated to me. I'm like, she's like, how did you know that? I'm like, he was standing right beside you, singing it to you. She just started crying more. And the second time here in Grand Island, like, my cousin, it's a girl cousin, she called me one time, freaking out. Like, she's like, I need your help, Mia. I need your help. I'm freaking out. Can you please come over? So, because she knew I saw ghosts, but she, I don't know if she believed it or not, or anything like that. So, I went over there, and she's like, oh my god, you came, oh my gosh, I'm like freaking out right now, I need your help. So, you know, like, well, yeah, what's going on, like, how can I help you? She goes, there's this guy downstairs, and I don't know who he is. Excuse me. Told her that Kimball, where we lived was north side of Kimball, and I would tell her that this was the old Kimball, and, you know, there was cowboys and, like, old Kimball. And so she looked it up, and she's like, wow, that's crazy. And she's telling me what happened, and I go, yeah, it's a cowboy. He died here. And I described him from head to toe, and she freaked out. She goes, oh my gosh, that's the same guy I saw in my dream. Like, you described him. Like, to the T. I go, oh, I did. She's like, yeah. She's like, I totally believe you now. Oh my gosh. I can't believe I ever doubted you. So, oh, okay. And, you know, I used to help my aunt here clean this little schools here, and I would see little ghosts and other ghosts there. And one time, after I saw this, I never went back to that school. There's this guy that was standing right beside my aunt, and then he would disappear in the next room. I go, Auntie, did you just see who, or see that guy? He goes, what guy? I go, that guy that just ran into that room. So I went over there, and he's just standing there. He told me to get out. I'm like, oh my gosh, okay. And he was like, he was really evil. I could feel it. And so I'm like, okay, I'm getting out of here. I'm not staying here at all. So we got out of there, and I told my aunt what happened because I was freaking out and I needed to go. I told my aunt what happened, and she goes, it's going to be okay. Just ask God for help. I go, I did. That was so scary. And then, well, my cousin or my boyfriend's sister had a baby that passed away, and I didn't know it. Like, I didn't know that she did that, and nobody else told me what happened. And he come up to me and say, "Can you tell my mommy I said hi and I love her and it wasn't her fault?" And I go, "Caleb, just calm down. It's gonna be okay. I'll tell her when you know I come out with my gift." Just, "You gotta tell her, you gotta tell her. Well, she'll never know." So, "Just calm down, I'll tell her." So, we're sitting on the ground outside, and I told her, "You probably think I'm crazy, but Caleb says he loves you, and that it wasn't your fault, and he wished he could be here right now." And she just started crying. She's like, "How did you know that? How did you know that I lost the baby?" And I go, "Because Caleb told me that he loves you." And she just started crying, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, I needed that." So, I'm trying to think what else there was that was kind of creepy. I can't really think of anything that's, hold on. Sorry.
You're okay.
I should have wrote all this down. But anyways, like right now the house I live in is kind of creeping me out because I know there's somebody there. Because I tried to heat up some food for my boyfriend because he was hungry. So I went out and like I swear that I thought it was my boyfriend that came into the kitchen and it came like really fast, like he was walking really fast. And I look over and there was nobody there. I'm like, that's kind of creepy. And so that's basically my story. If I have any more stories, I'll let you know.
Well, I greatly appreciate you coming on because I know it takes a lot of guts to share stuff like that. I mean, that's people always have that thought process that if they say stuff like that, you're going to have two ways of thinking. You're either going to say, "Man, that's incredible, and I wish I had those kind of gifts," or "I'm glad I don't have those kind of gifts." And then you feel like there's going to be the other half, if not more, say, "There's no way any of that's true. She's making it up." So it's tough to share yeah. stuff like that because you just don't know the thought process of whoever you're talking to.
Yeah. Because there's people that can see ghosts.
And I
know it.
I don't doubt that for a second. And so let me ask you this on let's go back to the situation with the baby, with the young lady who had lost a child.
Mm-hmm.
How did the child appear to you? I mean, did it look like a baby? Did it look like just an energy?
No. I believe that people who are older and die, like say a person's grandma, they come back younger than they were before. Because, you know, it was their peaceful state. It was their felt better kind of state, you know. And I believe babies who die as babies, they come back like a little bit older, say about 6 or 12. He was about 7.
Okay.
Looks 7 anyways. I don't really know.
I mean, that's the kind of
but
things
he looks older.
That's the kind of things that I always wondered. I heard a psychic one time, and I can't remember who it was. It was one of the bigger names out there, but they said that when older people die, they come back at around age 30. And I thought, well, that's mm-hmm. that's fine, but what about people who pass away before they even get to 30? You know, how do they come back?
Yeah. Usually, like, if they die in their 20s, they're still in their 20s.
So if they try,
that's how I think of it.
If they die mm-hmm. in a tragic accident or something, they don't come back in that state. They come back mm-hmm. in a state that they were happy in life, right?
Yes. Yes, they do, actually, because I know I saw my cousin that passed away not too long ago. She had come back all brained up, like, you know, because she was at peace. I mean, I believe that people that die like that and they're more at peace, they do come back like that, like they were, you know, dead.
So let me ask you this. Have you ever experienced anybody, has anybody ever shown themselves to you that had committed suicide?
Oh, actually, yes.
And
yes. Go ahead.
No, you're okay, babe. What kind of information did you get from them? Did you get any kind of indication that even though they had committed suicide, that there was some kind of peace in the afterlife? Or because, you know, depending on what religion you are, some people believe that if you commit suicide, that that's just a straight ticket to hell. No ifs, ands, or buts. And then some people believe that that's not necessarily the case, because it depends on your frame of mind. It depends on if you're in sound mind. It depends on what kind of tragedies you went to. So there's so many different philosophies. What did you get out of the experience that you had?
I got out of it, like, it was, you know, some of them come, like, peaceful, but some of them come evil. I think some of them do find heaven, and some of them don't. That's how I got it from it. Like, the last one I saw, I felt peace. But it just kind of depends on where they're at in their life at that moment.
Well, here's
that's how I feel about it.
Here's another question, and based on, you know, the philosophy, there's all kinds of different, once again, it depends on the religion that you are and what you believe.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Bible speaks, if you're a Christian, at least, it speaks of, you know, when you die, you basically are supposedly here until the rapture. And at that point in time, God's going to take up all the souls and take the ones that are going with him. But you're pretty much here until then. But if that's the case, I can't imagine that there are spirits walking around, so to speak, the earth and showing themselves. Because from what I've always understood, you would basically be inside your body, even though you really aren't. But that's kind of where you're at until the rapture. But you obviously see people that are interacting with people who are alive and what have you. What kind of thought process have you had from your visions and everything on what happens when somebody passes away? Are there people who go to the light, so to speak, and cross over into a heaven right then? Because if that's the case, that's not what a lot of people have been told. According to the biblical sense, what do you see? What do you think based on what you've seen?
Well, I think some of them are basically here because they have unfinished business. That's what I think. Yeah, I mean, you could tell them go to the light, but some of them don't really go to the light. But yeah, some of that what you just said is kind of what I kind of believe, but not really. Like, I believe they have unfinished business, and that's why they're here.
Because, yeah, I guess the question is, if what I was taught growing up is that nobody goes to heaven until the rapture, then what happens when somebody goes to the light? Because that sounds like they're crossing over into heaven, but that would contradict what I've been taught my whole life. If you can, you know, if there's a way to die right now and go straight to heaven, that's just not what I've been told happens. And that's what I've always been curious about with some of this stuff.
Yeah. Well, it really, what you believe is totally different than what I believe. But, I mean, I'm not, like, judging you about what you believe, but...
Oh, I don't know what I believe, to be honest with you. That's just what I've been taught. I have no clue what I believe. I am so confused about what I believe today as to what I was taught. That's why I said what I was taught growing up, because I really have no clue what I believe. I am more confused than I've ever been in my life on my belief system right now.
I just really do believe that, you know, they're here to do some unfinished business, and they can't leave until they do that unfinished business. And I've been told to help them find the light, but I'm like, I don't know how to do that. Like, I try, and they still stuck. And, I mean, yeah, I did. Also, I have to see evil, too, so I forgot to tell you a little story that I kind of encountered with somebody evil. This was back in Grand Island, and I was playing outside with my cousins, and we had this storm cellar that had a big hill on it, and it would just, like, go down in there for, like, tornadoes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
One time, I was walking around, and I looked down there, and I saw these two red eyes, and the feeling I had was, like, red. It was, like, evil. Like, you can't stand there. And then, like, okay, well, I'm gonna leave. And my brother told me that he one time he was talking, and he heard something that goes, get out, at that, and then it just get deeper, and then deeper, and then deeper, and then deeper. And it's like, my brother was so scared, he didn't know what to do. He said he almost peed himself. I'm like, oh, okay, that's good to know, I guess. But, yeah, like, some of them are just plain evil, and some of them are good. I mean, yeah, I do believe that the ones that are evil, they stay here on Earth because they want to turn people against people and, you know, just, like, possession, you know, like, yeah, I do believe that, but if you don't want them to possess you, you don't have to let them in. Like, it's kind of like a rules that they had to go by. Just like ghosts, they had to go through this rule or that rule, and it's kind of weird. It's like they have rules that they can't do, or that's not how I feel about it. I mean, basically, I don't know.
Well, I think it's good. I think they need rules. That way we got some kind of guidelines we can go by.
Yeah.
Well, Mia, thank you so much for coming on the show. I greatly appreciate it. And like I said, I think a lot of people out there listening will enjoy what you had to say.
Yeah. And also, I want to tell everybody, if you guys are scared to say, tell people your story. Don't be, like, if they think you're crazy, then you don't need that kind of person in your life.
I agree 100%. So well, thank you so much, darling, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you. Bye.
That's almost like the Sixth Sense type stuff, just see dead people all the time.
It sure was.
I see dead people all the time.
You do?
Yeah, well, why? They're at the cemetery. And funerals.
Well, I don't count.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just want to fit in.
Well, it don't count.
Okay. Mia, thank you for sharing your story. I know that was very tough for you to do.
It
because
sure was, honey.
You talked to us on the phone for probably 30 minutes before we did that, and it took you a while to get up the nerve to tell us, to even call us to tell us the story, but we greatly appreciate it, and we think it will actually benefit a lot of people out there.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Are you ready to hear some rock and roll stuff?
Yeah.
Ashley, you ready to hear some rock and roll stuff?
Always.
This is your favorite kind of stuff, it so. Is. All right. We're going to start off with some Michael Jackson stuff. And I don't know how I hadn't heard this already, because this actually was pretty big news.
Oh.
It's been in Vanity Fair. It was on CNN. And the story basically goes that Michael Jackson got involved with some voodoo priests and had three separate ceremonies. One of which, he was cleansed with sheep blood.
Ooh.
In another, he paid $150,000 to have 42 cows ritually sacrificed in Africa so he could curse his enemies and be blessed. Two of his enemies, by the way, were Steven Spielberg and David Geffen.
Who's David Geffen?
David Geffen is the music mogul. He was Michael's manager for a time. He was on his record label for a while. But apparently he was Michael was on his record label during like a slump in his career. It was after Thriller and things had started to decline a little bit. So and Spielberg apparently had asked him to do some projects or talked to him about doing some projects, but then never followed through with it.
Oh, so that's whack.
Yeah. They were two of the ones that were named, but it was mostly other people that were closer. But he actually was trying to put curses on these people. So the ceremonies actually took place in Geneva, Switzerland. And they had to send a money transfer to Africa to have the cows murdered.
That sounds like a scam. I mean, seriously.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Jackson. If you could only send me $150,000 American currency. That's an Indian accent. I don't know where that came from. They were Indian elephants. Oh, they were cows. Never mind. We're completely off track. They wouldn't do that in India because they're sacred.
I mean, seriously, if you think about what you just said, that certainly sounds like a scam. Like somebody was scamming.
I'm sure it was.
Oh, my gosh. So
they sent this money to Africa, killed these cows.
How did he come with 42 cows is what I want to know. I
have no idea.
Sorry. Go ahead.
And in the third ritual, they had actual animals that were on the French and Swiss border, and that was going to go down. And for some reason, it just didn't happen. But that was for another blessing. So that actually happened. That was told from Michael Jackson to this Marine Orth in Vanity Fair 2003.
Oh, my gosh. Michael, like, he told that story. He's a nut job. Oh, he's dead. You can't talk about it.
He's a dead nut job. Aww. Either way. That's like fruitcake.
Fruitcake?
Yeah. You ever had fruitcake? It's almost
that's
like something
disgusting.
That's been dead for a long time.
I will never have fruitcake.
Okay. Well, this is a story. We're not going to end on this one, but I think this is maybe the most fascinating of the stories. Was Jimi Hendrix actually murdered?
I've heard some things that kind of make you think about the situation.
Well, I'm sure we're going to talk about those things. And yeah. I won't put you on the spot and ask you what those things are.
Well, thank you. You know, because I can't say them.
Now, we've all heard that Jimi Hendrix choked to death on his own vomit.
Yes,
I didn't
know that.
That's the story. There's a lot of questions about what happened that day, though, that never really came out. And, like, for example,
that's terrible.
All right, nobody ever interviewed the ambulance driver or the doctor from the ER before putting the death certificate out. Now, the rumors that were actually reported said that he had taken 9 sleeping pills and he had wine oozing out of his mouth and almost a whole bottle of wine in his hair. This was according to the police report that was, you know, where they had found him at. Now, you also got the report from Monica Daneman. Now, Monica Daneman was somebody that he barely knew. He only knew her for a short time, and she actually worked for his manager, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes, which will be our main suspect. Now, Monica Daneman, Jimmy had went to an old girlfriend's house that night in London. They were in England. He went to an old girlfriend's house and spent some time with her. Monica Daneman pulled up in her car and started laying on the horn to the point where he just got up, told the girl he was leaving, and then he went with her and went back to her hotel room. Mm-hmm. Okay. This was the night that he actually died. And that's the room where they actually found Jimmy. Now, she says that she got up, went to the store to get a pack of cigarettes, and he was fine. Now, when the ambulance driver and stuff showed up, there was nobody there. The door was open so they could come straight in. And nobody has any record of who called the ambulance. So she just leaves the door wide open, unlocked, and nobody knows an ambulance called. Now, she also says that in her story that she made Jimmy a tuna fish sandwich because he wanted one, and then she left to go to the store.
Wait, I thought he didn't like tuna fish.
He doesn't. He absolutely hated tuna fish and would never eat a tuna fish sandwich. So that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So why would he be murdered? Well, James Wright, which goes by Tappy, James Tappy Wright, he says that Jimmy's manager, Michael Jeffrey, stood to collect millions of dollars off of his insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
James Wright was an assistant to Mike Jeffries, and he said Michael Jeffrey, in a drunken confession, said that he killed Jimmy by stuffing pills into his mouth. Why? Because the pills kill the gag reflex. So with no gag reflex, he had several men come in, hold him down, and pour bottles of red wine down his throat. And with no gag reflex, it went straight into his lungs.
Dang.
He was basically waterboarded, just like you hear with all the torturing and stuff going on. Now, that makes sense because the autopsy report only showed Jimmy having the equivalent of about 2 beers. Now, if he had enough wine coming out of his mouth to where there was a whole bottle of wine in his hair, but there was only 2 beers worth of alcohol in his system, that doesn't make sense.
No.
That sounds amazingly like most of this alcohol went into his system after he was already dead. Mm-hmm. And that ties right in to what this guy is basically saying, that this went right into his lungs. He choked to death on that, and most they just kept pouring, but now there's no blood pumping in his body, so the alcohol is not going to get into his bloodstream. Why kill Jimmy? That's the question here. Jeffrey had gotten wind that Jimmy was actually going to leave him for another manager. The problem with that is Mike Jeffries had actually borrowed about $1 million from the mob to build Electric Ladyland Studio. And if you don't have Jimi Hendrix, which was his only real client, he's got no way to pay the mob back. And we know what happens when you don't pay the mob back their money.
Yeah.
So let's go back to how Jimmy was found. He was actually alone on his back. Like I said, the door was open. The gas fireplace was on. No record of the ambulance. The cause of death was listed as barbiturates, intoxication, which were the pills, and inhalation of vomit.
This sounds like a horrible way to go.
Right. Now, Wright says that he overheard Jeffrey telling Monica Daneman, that was the one whose room it was, "Well done, darling. Here's your money." He didn't know what that was in reference to at the time because at this point they didn't know that Jimmy was dead.
Wait, who said that? I'm sorry. Who said that?
He heard Mike Jeffries, Jimmy's manager, say that to Daneman. This is the same guy that Tappy Wright, that says that he was the assistant.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in there. He overhears him saying, "Hey, basically, well done, darling. Here's your money." Then he finds out later that Jimmy's dead. Now, he wasn't sure, obviously, what he was referring to until Mike Jeffries had his little drunken confession talk with him. Wright said that Jeffries' face was pale during this conversation, so when he's telling him this. And he said that he was clutching his glass, his drinking glass, with like so much rage that you could tell he was pissed off just talking about it. He said, "Look, I had to do it, Tappy. You understand, don't you? I had to. You know damn well what I'm talking about." And, you know, he's like, he was in some, Jeffrey said that he was in London with some friends. "We went to Monica's room, got a handful of pills, stuffed it into his mouth, and poured a few bottles of wine right into his windpipe." He said that Jimmy was worth more to him dead than he was alive, and the son of a bitch was going to leave me. If I lost him, I'd lose everything. So that was his confession that he told Tappy.
Hmm.
How much of it's true, who knows? But I can tell you this. The girl that he was overseeing, his former girlfriend, the night that Monica Daneman came out and was honking the horn, about a year after his funeral, she killed herself by jumping off the Hotel Chelsea.
Oh, my.
Which, if you're unfamiliar with the Hotel Chelsea, we need to do a whole story on that because all kinds of bad shit happened, including what's the little girl, the little Asian girl that went missing and she ended up in the water tank on top. That's actually the Hotel Chelsea.
Oh.
So can't think of her name right off the bat, but everybody knows that story because they've all seen the video of her getting on and off the elevator and all that weird shit that went on. But that's actually the same hotel. So this girl, his ex-girlfriend, jumps off of there a year after his funeral. Monica Daneman, the chick that supposedly helped set him up, she committed suicide 2 years later in her Mercedes Benz. She ran a hose from the exhaust pipe to the inside and killed herself with carbon monoxide poisoning. Mike Jeffries, his manager, the one that supposedly did all this, he was a master of explosives. He knew he was like a part of a James Bond M16 or whatever it's called. It's like a fan club, James Bond deal. But he was a master of explosives, and he scared the hell out of people. A lot of people were just petrified of him. And he actually even had a situation where Jimmy had tried to cross the border into Toronto, Canada, and he got caught with heroin. Well, Jimmy always said he thought that this guy planted that in his – Jeffries, his manager, planted that into his suitcase just to kind of prove a point. 2 weeks before Jimmy died, he was kidnapped. Jimmy was kidnapped and tied up and put into a garage. Who came to his rescue? Mike Jeffries. So did Mike Jeffries come to his rescue, or was he just trying to, was he the one that set it up to happen to prove a point to Jimmy of what he was capable of doing?
So all these people that killed themselves, I mean, was it just their conscience?
I don't know.
Or maybe a curse.
So here's the weird thing about Mike Jeffries. Of course, we said, now this could be two ways of looking at it. He was an expert in explosives, but he was actually supposed to be coming back from Spain to England for an inquest to find out some stuff. Well, the plane that he was on exploded. The only thing that was ever found of Mike Jeffries was his wristwatch.
Oh, my gosh.
So, did he blow the plane up? Was he even on the plane? Did he blow the plane up and have his wristwatch there just so they would think he was dead? Yeah, they would think
he was on the plane.
Who knows?
Dang, man.
So, some strange stuff there. So,
That's a lot to go. It is. That's a lot to go through, but too.
It makes you definitely realize that there may have been more there than meet the eye.
Wow, that's so crazy.
Ashley, are you a Hendrix fan?
A little before my time. But yeah, I mean, I like it.
How old are you?
31.
Okay, it's not that far before.
A little bit.
It is a little bit, yeah.
All right, this is what I think is the coolest story of the night. We're going to talk about the Allman Brothers. Well, if you don't know Hendrix, I'm sure you probably don't know the Allman Brothers either, do you?
Lord, I was born a rambling man.
Okay, this is not America's Got Talent. This is Hillbilly Horror Story, so let's move on.
I'm trying to help her out.
Do you know any other song besides that?
Yeah.
Which one?
Well, I can't do it because now I've got that song on my brain. What else? Tell me another one.
How about Midnight Rider that we actually put in the beginning of the show? And how about Whipping Post Saloon?
No, I don't know that one. I mean, I probably would have heard it. Actually,
Hitchin' Post Saloon.
Yeah, but I probably would know it if I heard it.
You're not going to hear it from me. All right. So this is all the Allman Brothers, and I think this is one of the coolest stories ever. Dwayne Allman, he's the guitarist for the band. October 29th, 1970, he OD'd on opium. Massive dose of opium. And this was after a show in Nashville. So they rush him to the hospital. The doctor comes out about an hour later and says, he's not going to make it. This is beyond what we got any help doing. Now, Barry Oakley, who is a great friend of his and the bassist, he runs out to the parking lot. Several people see this. Drops to his knees, and he starts begging to God loudly. Everybody's hearing him. He's like, Lord, just please give him one more year. They go back inside. 20, 30 minutes later, the doctor comes out and says, I can't explain this, but I think he's going to make it now. Oh. I think he's going to make a full recovery.
Yay, God.
Yeah, we'll see. Exactly 1 year to the day, Dwayne Allman was killed when his motorcycle ran into the back of a truck.
Oh, jeez.
He hit it so hard.
I can't.
That the motorcycle flew up in the air, landed back on top of him.
Oh, my gosh.
And he had so many internal injuries. He died at the hospital, had no shot at all at making it.
Aw.
So, Barry Oakley goes out to the parking lot, begs God to give him 1 year, and exactly 1 year later, he's killed in a motorcycle accident. So,
oh, my goodness.
I mean, just think about that. So,
yeah.
That's what just happened. Now, Barry Oakley, who went out and did the praying, exactly 1 year and an unlucky 13 days later from that, died in a motorcycle accident when he was hit by a bus about two blocks from where Dwayne Allman's accident happened.
Oh, my goodness.
On the same street.
That's so crazy.
Now, The thing that's, I think, really kind of ties all this together, besides that, is the number 24. Dwayne Allman, when he died, was 24 years old. Barry Oakley, when he died, was 24 years old. The gentleman in the bus that hit Barry Oakley, 24 years old. And the gentleman that was driving the truck that killed Dwayne Allman, 24 years old.
Daggone it.
So the number,
but they 20, were okay, though, right?
Yeah, the number 24 was
that
wilder.
That is not good.
Some people think it's because of the Robert Johnson curse. You remember Robert Johnson?
Yeah.
He sold his soul to the devil mm-hmm. at the crossroads. And he claims that the devil taught him to play the guitar in the cemeteries. Well, the Allman Brothers really were big fans of Johnson. And they used to go to Rose Hill Cemetery in Georgia. And that's where they would practice and play.
In
they
the
would
cemetery?
They would hang out at the cemetery because of the Robert Johnson deal.
Wow.
So they would go there, and several of their songs were actually written in Rose Hill Cemetery. And we both know that Robert Johnson supposedly sold his soul to the devil, so who knows if that's got a connection to it. Now, Dwayne and Barry actually have one more final connection. Even though Dwayne died a year and 13 days earlier than Barry, they were actually buried at Rose Hill Cemetery on the same day.
How's that happen?
Well, because Dwayne, it's a kind of a screwed up kind of story. Dwayne had a girl on the back of his motorcycle mm-hmm. when he got killed.
Mm-hmm.
She said she was his wife. She wasn't his wife. Dwayne already had a wife. So this girl was just a girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne had a wife and he had a daughter. And there was a kind of a fight as to what to do with him, who got this, who got that.
So the girlfriend lived, it, now, I guess.
Yeah, it drug on for over a year before they were able to actually lay him to rest.
Wow.
And when they were able to do it, they laid him to rest the same day that Barry Oakley was.
That's gross.
At Rose Hill Cemetery, where they had practiced and wrote all these songs.
Well, I mean, that's kind of nice that they did that, but why, I mean, a whole year they couldn't, well, I mean...
I mean, they couldn't decide what to do with the body. One of them wanted one thing, one of them wanted the other, and you had those kind of fights between the mother and the daughter.
See, that's so crazy. I don't understand for the life of me why people act like that, especially somebody's death. But it is kind of cool, though, that they got buried the same day at the same cemetery. That's kind
of
cool.
So there's a lot of connections between them, too. So they were connected during life, and they're connected after life.
They're like, hey, I know you. Right?
Yeah, I'm sure that's what he did.
He did.
So anyways, that's the story that we got.
Well,
so
that's really interesting.
We had three creepy little rock and roll stories to get to. And then obviously we had Mia's cool story.
Yep.
And then Stole Cemetery.
Yeah,
so I think
it was
a pretty packed show. Ashley got to learn some stuff. Did you learn some stuff?
I did.
Okay, good.
It's so nice to have you here, Ashley.
Oh, thank you all for
having me. You know, my gosh, when you get your podcast started, you're going to do a great job. And, you know, it's just... like, we have to learn as you go, and it'll be wonderful.
Absolutely. Well, I've got great teachers. So.
Oh, well, thank you. Jerry does a pretty
great.
Good
and
job.
If you need help with us, we'll help you too. But, hey, guys, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we look forward to seeing you next week. Have no idea. Well, I kind of know what next week's goes. I know we're going to have the guys on from Don't Break the Oath podcast. They had horrible sound for a long time, and they've got it fixed, and I kid them about it. Interviewed Lee earlier today, and he's actually told us some stories, one of which is in Kentucky, about an hour away from us, and I had no clue. I'd never heard of it. It took somebody 4,000 miles away to tell me about it, something in my backyard.
Oh, wow.
But it was
well,
a pretty
I want to
cool
know what
story.
That is.
Yeah, and, you know, so they came out with a cool interview with them and some cool stories that they're sharing from all the way across the pond, and we love them guys, and like I said, I want you to give them a chance now because they've upgraded all their equipment. And the show sounds fantastic now. So if you listened to them before and was deterred a little bit by the sound, give them another chance. I think you'll be excited about it.
And we'd also like your feedback about how our new stuff sounds as well. So,
yep. You guys have pitched in and helped us get better equipment. So good. You're probably hearing Ninja snorting in the background as we speak.
Oh, my God. He is like big time snorting.
But we love you guys, and we'll see you soon.
Love you guys.
Don't miss Scarpetta, a propulsive new crime thriller starring Academy Award winner Nicole Kidman, Academy Award winner Jamie Lee Curtis, Emmy winner Bobby Cannavale, with Emmy nominee Simon Baker, and Academy Award winner Ariana DeBose. Scarpetta follows Dr. K. Scarpetta, Nicole Kidman, a brilliant and no-nonsense chief medical examiner, as she investigates a haunting murder that strangely parallels her first major case from decades earlier. Is the case that made her the case that breaks her? Based on the best-selling novels by Patricia Cornwell, Scarpetta is both a crime thriller and messy family drama that will keep you on the edge of your seat. Get ready to hunt a serial killer in this satisfying series with terrifying twists and an ending you won't see coming. Watch all episodes of Scarpetta on March 11th, only on Prime Video.
El family chat se enteró del $5 McChicken Meal Deal, del $5 McDouble Meal Deal y del nuevo $6 Daily Double Meal Deal. Todos con papitas y bebida pequeña más McNuggets de 4 piezas. ¡Wow! ¡Qué banquete! Por tiempo limitado, precios y participación pueden variar. No es válido para McDelivery.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.